Tonight we focus on verse 13 of Matthew 6. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil or the evil one. I want to suggest to you that when we pray this verse, we will grow stronger in victory. Now, before we look at the twofold request, let's pick up on the opening two words, because so often they are overlooked. Lead us. The word lead here is a very interesting word. It's not the usual word which means to direct or to advance or to charge. The word that used here means to bring along. It means to carry along. And it implies a personal involvement and assistance. This lead is more like the shepherd leading his flock, walking beside them. And as he walks through the valley with them, he protects them. He keeps them safe. I was out walking with our eldest granddaughter, Harriet, a few days ago, and she's only five. And we walked through this woodland path. And on each side of the path, there were stinging nettles. And she asked me quite an interesting question for a five-year-old. She looked at me and she said this, "Papa, if God made everything, why did he make stinging nettles?" I thought, that's a good question. And then she said, "Papa, will you walk with me?" I said, "Of course." And so we navigated through the stinging nettles together to get to the other side. I want to suggest to you tonight that this is the picture that we have of Father God. He leads us. He carries us. He comes alongside us. He navigates our path throughout life. I absolutely love the MSG translation of Exodus 33, verse 15. We read this. Moses said, "If your presence doesn't go with us, then the trip is off. The trip is off." And each day and every day, we should pray, "Father, would you lead us today? Father, would you lead us into victory?" Now, there are two aspects of this request I want to highlight before we pray. First of all, lead us not into temptation. The word temptation in the Greek is peresimos, which actually means enticement, test, or trial. Now, the proper translation of this word depends on the context where the word is used. And in the book of James chapter 1, we find the same word used in a different context with a different meaning. For instance, verse 2, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." The word here for trial is the word peresimos. And then in verse 13, he says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does God tempt anyone." So the word tempt here is the same word, peresimos. So I want to suggest to you tonight that a better translation of this word in the context of this prayer is the word test or trial. Scripture is full of people whose faith was tried and tested and often approved by God. Now, often they didn't understand the reason for the trial, the reason for the test, but they saw the byproduct, they saw the fruit, they saw the blessing. Think of Job, or as you say, Job. and the trial and the test that he went through. In chapter one, the enemy says to God, you know, he's only faithful to you because of your kindness and your goodness to him. He's only faithful to you because you protect him. Take that away and test him and see if he will not curse you and die. In fact, Satan says, let me test him. Let me try him and see what will happen. And you know the story well. Job loses his 10 children. All his servants are taken from him. His livelihood is gone. All his sheep have gone. And when tempted to curse God and die by his wife, he remains steadfast in his faith and declares that God is good. He doesn't begin to understand why and what is happening, but he declares God is good. And because of his steadfastness in this horrendous trial, God rewards him beyond measure. The same is true of Joseph. Think of Joseph. God spoke to him about his calling and his destiny through dreams. And then his brothers sold him into slavery and he went to Egypt. And for 22 years, he is in Egypt before he meets his brothers. 22 years of testing, wondering, God, what are you doing? God, when will you fulfill those dreams that you've spoken over my life? Joseph, like Job, didn't understand what was happening and why it was happening, but he remained steadfast during the trial, during the test, and God raised him up in the nation and he blessed him. And then Joseph was able to bless his family through the famine. The same is true of Paul in prison. He writes to the church at Philippi in chapter 1, and in verse 12 he says this, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." Paul's in prison, and he sees the prison as a platform. He sees the test, he sees the trial as a platform where he can find the will and the purpose of God. And he shares with them that purpose at the end of his letter. Chapter 4, verses 22, he says, "All the saints greet you, especially those from the household of Caesar." Those guards who looked after Paul were ushered into the kingdom of God. You see, Paul never believed that meaningless things would happen to him, so he always looked for the purpose of God in every situation. Paul believed that God would allow things to happen to him in order that things would happen in him, so that things would happen through him. So in everything, he looked for the purpose and the will of God. Now, the past year for many has been really difficult, including Liz and I. As most of you know, we stepped out in faith just over a year and a half ago to serve the wider church, and things were going well. We were doing church weekends. We were preaching Sunday mornings. We were doing conferences at Lee Abbey until COVID-19. And then everything stopped. I used to give 6 talks in a church weekend. Up until this week, over the last 9 months, I have given 7. And our faith and our trust in God and in his provision is constantly being tried and tested. Now, I don't know what trial you're going through. I don't know what test you're enduring. I don't know what storm you're facing. But be assured of this, He will lead you. He will carry you. He will come alongside you. And just like the disciples in the boat, He will get you. He will get Liz and I to the other side. The second request is deliver us from evil or the evil one. The word deliver here in the Greek means to bring through. It means to release. It means to rescue. This is a cry for God's help in a time of testing. In James chapter 4, I believe that he reveals the secret of victory over trials and temptation and testing. This is what James writes in verse 7. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. As I close, three steps to victory. Step one, submit yourself to God. You know, I believe that this is one of the most misquoted Bible verses of all times. Over the years, I've heard so many people say to people, if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And then they wonder why he doesn't. There is a prerequisite to victory. And that is that we should submit to God's rule. That we should submit to God's reign. We should submit to God's authority and his will within our lives. Remember what Jesus said before he went into his trial and test and suffering in Luke 22. This is what Jesus said. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, Father, Abba, Papa, Daddy God, if it's possible, will you take this cup from me? Would you take this trial? Would you take this suffering from me? But not my will, but yours be done. Total submission. Now, it's not unspiritual, I want to suggest to you. It's not unspiritual to pray, Lord, lead us not into a time of testing, but if you do, not my will, but yours be done, and deliver us from the evil one. Step two to victory. James says, resist the devil. Resist his lies. Resist his taunts, his accusations, his enticement. Just as Jesus did in Luke chapter 4. He resists the enemy by declaring the truth of God's word. He said to the enemy, again and again, it is written. You know it's written. It is written. You know, the main reason why Adam and Eve failed their test before God was because they listened to the lie of the enemy. And in a time of testing and trial, it's imperative that we don't listen and take on board the lies of the enemy. He will come and he will say to you, God doesn't care. Look what you're going through. God has abandoned you. He's left you alone. That plan that God has for your life, it will never be fulfilled. Listen, church, he is the father of lies, and we need to acknowledge him. For what he is before God, he is a liar, and in him there is no truth. We have the sword of the Spirit. We have the word of God to bring down the lies of the enemy during a time of testing. You know, another word for resist is the word stand. Submit to God and then stand firm on the word of God and the power of the Spirit of God, and victory will come. Step three, victory comes when we draw near to God. James says, draw near to God. Draw near with a sincere heart, with a yielded heart, with a clean heart. And as you start to draw near, the slightest movement of wanting to draw near to God, God will draw near to you, and his presence will make a difference. He will walk with you. He will walk in front of you. He will walk behind you. He will carry you through the trial and the test. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4 says this, for the Lord your God, the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, will give you the victory. Warren Wiersbe writes this, remember, you are not fighting for victory, but from victory, because Jesus Christ has already defeated the enemy. So when we pray this verse, lead us not into a trial or a test, but deliver us from the evil one, we will grow stronger and stronger and stronger in victory with God. May God help you and bless you as you seek to do that in the coming days. Amen.